Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Jared.
And welcome to the Fixate and Binge podcast, where we discuss our fixation with films and television by digging deep into the themes and messages that transcends entertainment.
And offer our insights and analysis into what makes something worth your time and binge-worthy right now. Testing, testing.
Testing, testing. Are we good?
We're good.
All right.
Just furniture here. Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Fixate and Binge podcast. I am Jared.
And I am Joe.
And we are here for, what are we here for? What are we calling it? Oh, yeah, Binge Report.
Yeah.
Binge Report, and we went out and actually saw a new film, so you know what that means. All right, so Joe, what have you been watching?
I've been watching a lot of things, and mostly Netflix is the vehicle from which I've watched these things. Like a lot of you, I am not living in a cave. I see what's trending on Netflix. I see what's in the top 10. And so I watched Baby Reindeer, the latest Netflix short series sensation.
Okay. I have not started that at all.
Well, this...
I've seen the ads, but I haven't started it.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story. The whole premise, it's really weird because they're kind of breaking the fourth wall here, because the main actor who's playing the main role of a guy who's being stalked by a woman that leaped out of a Stephen King novel. I mean, the lady really gave me Kathy Bates overtones. If you know what I'm talking about, Misery, where she kidnaps the guy and she breaks his ankles. This guy tells this story, and it's a true story. And then he plays himself telling the story.
Okay, that part really threw me for a loop, because, I mean, okay, we are the experts of our own life.
Yeah.
But then to have to recreate with the original emotion, with the original context.
Yeah.
But years separated, I don't know if I would want to relive some parts of my life and have to really put myself in that mind space in order to portray it accurately. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah, and I've only heard of this happening one other time. There was a World War II film about a damaged war vet, and when he came back, he was a bit of a celebrity because he had survived and he had these war wounds. And when he came back from the war, Hollywood stuck him in the studio and said, "Let's make a movie about your life."
Oh my goodness.
And this was like in the late 40s, and it was kind of a war propaganda film, but it was all about valor and courage and the American indomitable spirit and wartime.
That reminds me of Inglorious Bastards, the German soldier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's being praised and immortalized, or what do you call it? Immemorial or memorialized on his film where he killed so many enemy soldiers.
And the soldier I'm talking about, of course, is Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy, who is an American soldier and actor and stuff. He's actually, that's an interesting Google. He's described as the most decorated U.S. soldier in American history. So you could see how that was just perfect for the cinema. But they, for whatever reason, they cast him to play himself.
I mean, if if you're bodacious enough to play yourself, then go for it. If it doesn't cause you any more mental problems.
And I don't know. I mean, the way Hollywood stylized valor and wartime and stuff, I mean, I don't know if there was any PTSD issues lingering.
Yeah.
There probably wasn't any psychologists or counselors on set, you know. But for this, for Baby Reindeer, okay, so this guy gets stalked by this woman because he made the mistake of a single act of kindness all over a cup of tea in the pub. He took pity on this poor, miserable looking woman. And because he showed her this tiny gesture of affection or caring, she stalked him. She adored him. She followed him. And he couldn't keep her out of his life. This guy eventually makes a one-man play out of his experience. And he takes it to the Edinburgh Fringe, which is a festival for artists and musicians and comedians and actors who are trying to test out new material. And his one-man play was a bit of a hit in 2019. And then, ta-da, Netflix optioned it. Ta-da, why not cast the guy who's already done the one-man play? It can't be too bad on him. And dude,
great idea.
Dude.
Okay, baby reindeer.
Dude, this, I'll just say this, put the kids to sleep. There is content and situations in this short series, definitely not for kids. Definitely not for the viewing.
And what are we talking about? Sex?
Yeah.
Are we talking about?
Yes.
Violence?
Yes.
Probably massive amounts of cussing.
Yes.
Let's see, what else could be conceived as adult stuff?
Yes.
Okay. All of the above.
Yeah, it is an unflinching and honest look. I mean, the actress who plays the stalker, it is one of the most believable performances of a female stalker. It almost looks like the part she was born to play.
Wow.
And I read a brief interview that said, in between scenes, she would go and check on her co-star and says, everything okay? Because he would look emotionally wrecked after some of the scenes, recreating these traumatic experiences. Anyway, I've waxed on too much.
Okay, baby reindeer.
Yeah.
If you want to be traumatized, watch it.
But it's so good. Okay. It's so good. And everyone's talking about it. Just 8 episodes and you're done, I think.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. So I have been watching Loot Season 2. That's with Maya Randolph.
Rudolph. The Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah. So Maya Rudolph, if you don't know, she's from SNL. That's where she got her big start. And she's done many, many things since then. But again, the premise is she is her and her husband, she supported her husband starting some big tech company. As soon as it went big and he got super rich, he dumped her. And now she is also very rich because, you know, they were billionaires. And she's figuring out how to live and how to be happy as a single, very, very rich woman. And it is silly. It's ridiculous. It's heartwarming. It's fun. And it's pretty damn funny in a lot of places. So there's a lot of really quirky personalities that they bring together in this cast of people. And it is just a fun time about how Maya Rudolph's character is going to spend her billions to make the world, primarily in Los Angeles area, a better place. And it's, again, it's ridiculous, it's silly, but it's a lot of fun, and it's definitely worth the watch. And each episode is like 20, 25 minutes, so very, very digestible as a breakfast companion or as a pre-sleep type of a binge. It's really easy to watch and really fun to watch.
And I say this without trying to denigrate on the show at all in any way, but some of these shows are so short, depending on the length of your bowel movements, you could get through a lot.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's a reflection on the quality of the show.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But you got to watch when you can, right?
Yeah, it's short and sweet. Exactly. And if on the can is your place, well, there's no shame in that. Lots of material gets consumed on the can.
I would love to know what great contributions to the advancement of human civilization have been conjured up while having a bowel movement. I would love to find that out. Like I even think Rodin's the thinker. He's not thinking.
Yeah, he's taking a dump.
He's thinking. He's trying to squeeze one out. Anyway, it's so gross. Sorry. We all do it. Sorry.
We do. All right, so that's Loot Season 2 for me.
And that's on Apple TV.
That is on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to briefly just talk about another show. Well, yeah. you've got another show. Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about Ripley, the Netflix show that's shot entirely in black and white. It was written and directed by Steve Zaillian. I don't know if I'm saying that name right, but he's the screenwriter for Schindler's List. He has an Academy Award. And his director of photography, I can't remember his name, but he is acclaimed and has won awards as well. So these two got together and said, we're going to take I think that Janet Henderson was the one that wrote this book back in the late 50s. We're going to take this book that's, of course, been a movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley with Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Matt Damon, and the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was done like 25 years ago in 1999. Well, we want to make a longer series. We want to explore things a little bit. And what they've crafted is an early 1960s black and white psychological story that tells the story in black and white with this wonderful British actor named Andrew Scott, who's destined for much bigger things. And it is beautiful to look at. It is stunning to look at it. It is about a grifter, a con man who is at the top of his game, manipulating people. It will make you mad because you don't want to root for the bad guy, and yet he plays everybody so well. And it's again, it's gorgeous. It's shot in black and white. It's like Fellini. It's like one of these art house black and white movies, but it's a series, and it's so constructed well. It is so well put together, and that is on Netflix.
Is that a limited series?
It is limited. I can't see them extending past a season, but they always could.
What is it, 8 episodes or so?
I want to say it's 8.
That kind of seems to be the magic number for limited 6. Series.
I can't remember. It's between 6 or 8, right?
Okay, all right.
And the thing is that the author that authored these books, I mean, she wrote a series. So technically, I mean, you could continue the story.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. It's brilliant. It's so well done. Netflix. I think it's the best thing on Netflix you can watch. I do. Yeah.
Do you know where it rates or ranks, I guess?
It was in the top 10 for quite a while. And then Baby Reindeer come along.
Oh, right.
But if you watch, you could probably see Baby Reindeer and Ripley in the top 10 still to this day.
Okay. Sounds good.
Very
good.
If you
watch them both at the same time, you're going to really need psychological help.
You will. Yeah. You'll need to find a happy place.
All right. I just have one more show.
Okay.
And that is Killing Eve. I've talked about this already, so I'm not going to belabor it. Finished season 1. And I've launched into season 2, still really enjoying this. I think it's a really good show. Joe, you had more experience with it because you watched up to season 4?
I think I finished after season 3. And I never know, I mean, that's worthy of a podcast at some point, is shows that you really liked, and then for whatever reason, you just stopped watching them.
There's plenty of those.
Yeah.
Like, you just reminded me of Three Body Problems, which I really liked, but there's stuff going on. You just forget, you know?
I had this happen with the second season of Foundation. I got like 5-6 episodes in, and I guess I got distracted. I got distracted with another hot hit show.
Right.
And I think that's what happened between seasons 3 and 4 with Killing Eve. It wasn't that the show was degraded in any quality whatsoever. There was something else that took my attention.
There's always something else.
And I think that's one of the benefits of binging over watching when it comes out. Because in your case, you're circling back and watching shows, and you can binge it from beginning to end.
Totally. And it's awesome.
Yeah, that is the way to do it.
It does become a time suck for sure, but a very enjoyable time suck. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what's her name? Jodie Comer and Sandra Oh, I think.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. That's such a good pairing. Both of them are so good, aren't they?
Oh, it's a great show. I've really enjoyed it, and it's serious. It's fun. There's action, but it's not heavy watching. It's definitely not heavy watching.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Pretty digestible. About 35 to 45 minute episodes, usually somewhere in there.
And that's now on Netflix, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So the whole series, the whole thing is wrapped up.
Okay. Yep. It's all on there. So
awesome.
Fun watching.
Well, the last thing I want to talk about, of course, is probably the best historical short series ever made in television history. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to say that. And that's Shogun.
Right.
That's on Hulu. If you have a Disney bundle, you can access Hulu through Disney Plus. That is outrageously amazing. The main character in this is, I'm going to butcher this name, Hiroki Sanada, and he is a Japanese screen legend. Mm-hmm. And you've got some other people in here, and then of course you've got, I'm going to butcher this name, Tadanobu Asano. And I've seen other movies that he's been in. Tadanobu Asano. Anyway, the show, you've read the books. We had talked about it, and I don't want to belabor it as well. I finally just finished the show.
Cool.
And the last episode is a stroke of genius, and it surprised me how the last episode was executed, because we expect some of these battle epic historical shows to build towards, like in Lord of the Rings, Helm's Deep, you know,
right.
The great battle for the history of the world or whatever. And this, I don't want to give it away, but this did something extremely unique, and it might divide fans of the show.
Okay.
But I every time I think about it again, I'm all, no, that was actually a master stroke. It's almost almost as if Sun Tzu, you know, the Art of War, had done this. It is an intelligent, highly detailed, historically scrupulous, I mean, to the tiniest historical detail, wonderful show. Shogun takes you to 1600 feudal Japan, and I loved it. It was great, and you can watch all the episodes on Hulu now.
Awesome, awesome. That will be a future binge.
Definitely. I hope so. Very good.
And it's heavy. It's heavy. A heavy binge.
It's a heavy binge, and they don't spare the truth of things that were going on in Japan. You're going to have to put your cell phone down. There's quite a lot. And I would say the same thing about Ripley as well, because there's a lot of Italian spoken in Ripley, because they're in the south of Italy. But there's, I mean, most of the dialogue in Shogun is Japanese. And it finally felt like a movie about Japan made by Japanese people.
That's cool.
For Japanese audiences. And if Americans want to watch, I guess you can. And I like that.
That is good. It's, you get authenticity.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. That's it for shows for me. Same with you?
Yeah. Did we want to talk a little bit about The Boy Who Kills the World?
Absolutely. So we sped to the cinema, everybody. Joe, there are new films out that must be reviewed.
Our people need us, and we will not let them down. To the cinema! Speeding.
Speeding.
Speeding to the cinema!
All right, what did we see?
We saw The Boy Who Killed the
Boy World. Kills World.
Boy Kills World.
Holy crapoli.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
That, I mean, okay, look, I knew it was going to be violent.
Yeah.
But holy shit, was it violent.
Yeah. Graphic, huh?
Graphically violent.
Yeah.
Heads rolling, literally.
Yeah. Limbs flying.
Guts being ripped.
Yeah.
Any sort of battle injury that you can imagine, they came up with stuff.
Yeah, they definitely did.
And they showed it in some pretty... pretty high color detail.
Yeah, pretty gut-wrenching detail. Yeah. I felt like this movie was released, and I don't want to be a downer, but I had watched a movie a few weeks back with my son called Monkey Man.
Oh, right, right.
And that is about... a young man. I mean, I don't want to give the plot to Monkey Man or Boy Kills World away, but their plots are extremely similar.
Some kid that's righting some wrong of some sort.
Yeah, and it's about classism. It's about both characters are trained in the jungle to kick ass.
Yeah,
And they're both just one man wrecking crews.
Yep. And they do wreck a lot of people.
They're very similar. And so I don't know. I prefer Monkey Man over Boy Kills World.
Okay, and I haven't seen Monkey Man, so I don't
know. And inevitably, you have to compare them when they're so similar.
Oh, for sure, and released within weeks of each other too.
Yeah, and that's I was impressed with the fighting scenes of both films.
Yeah.
But this one is really good.
I liked the injection of some very big humor in this whole thing. Because it was laugh out loud funny in a lot of places where like I was eating snacks and I actually ended up spitting something out because who knew in an extremely violent film that you could be joked into laughing so loud you end up... I was worried that I spit something into somebody's hair down range. It was really funny. It was really funny, which, again, is surprising because a movie that violent and with that serious of overtones, man, they snuck in some really funny jokes.
I agree. And it's really strange because when you're doing fight scenes or whatever, or you have a kind of action film like this, it's all about pacing, isn't it?
Yes.
And you're doing this, you know, this pacing, and then they would stop,
right?
And let's do this funny tableau. Yeah, let's do this really funny thing. And I thought that was genius too. That was, it broke the monotony up. Otherwise, it's just an unending orgy of violence.
Yeah, there's one. I'll just give you a hint. There are some key misunderstandings in communication there that are just freaking hilarious.
Those are really good.
So funny. So okay. So screen.
Yeah, I think
stream. Skip. What do you think?
I think if you like action-packed, bone-crushing fight scenes, if you enjoy those kind of films, martial art films, mm-hmm. and you're okay with gore, I mean, gore turned up times 10.
I honestly had to shield my eyes a couple times because I did not want to see that bone protruding from somebody's calf.
The cheese grater?
Oh,
that was cringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can can just let your imagination go wild, and it's probably about right.
Honestly, I would cringe if somebody got a paper cut and I see them putting lemon juice in it. I would be like, That's how I felt during the cheese grater bit. I think screen it.
Yeah, if you're a fan of action, I would totally say screen it, because there's some big action in this film. If you're not into blood, absolutely skip it. But I enjoyed it. It was a nice, what was that, Friday? Saturday? No, today's Saturday.
No, it was it was a Friday. It was Friday morning.
Yeah, Friday morning. That's right. Yeah, I was. So yeah, for a Friday morning, skipping work, but I don't got a job, so it doesn't matter.
I will say this, Bill Skarsgård, the whole Skarsgård family, they're from Sweden or...
Yeah, somewhere up there.
And they're all very successful American... Well, they're all successful in American content. Mm-hmm. Bill Skarsgård, he's got ripped abs. I mean, he doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. He's obviously just stayed training, so...
All the time.
He's good in it, and... Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah. So again, I had a good time with it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be my favorite movie, but it was really freaking hilarious and cringy in terms of the violence, but the action was really, really good.
Yeah,
it was. And the choreography was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So I enjoyed it for those aspects.
As did I. And I think if you like that kind of content, but there's some tongue-in-cheek humor,
yeah,
you'll enjoy it for that even much more.
Absolutely. Okay, I think we covered it.
I think we did.
All right, well, party on, everybody.
Yeah, have a great one, guys. Take care.
Later.
All right, bye.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
So I heard you guys had the Facts of Life discussion with your kids the other night.
Yeah.
So what did you talk about anyway? Sex?
Yeah.
Are we talking about...
Yes.
Violence?
Yes.
Probably massive amounts of cussing?
Yes.
Let's see, what else could be conceived as adult stuff?
Yes.
Okay.